7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7. This Thursday. All right, men, don't forget about the Liberty Men meeting this Thursday night. Don't forget about that. No, I am not. Last Thursday in June. When is that? Every fourth Thursday. So is that? Oh, there's five. So yes, and Cody's right, because that was a discussion the last time. Cody is right. Matthew 7, Cody's right. Matthew 7, 24, Cody's right. Amen. Amen. I want you to, we're looking at the parables of our Lord, Matthew 7, verse 24. And tonight I want you to think on this thought. I want you to, this is the parable of the solid rock and the shifting sand. The solid rock and the shifting sand. So Matthew 24, the Bible says, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The solid rock and the sinking, the shifting sand. So one of the things you need to notice tonight in this parable is that this is the last parable in the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. So he comes out with the Sermon on the Mount, and he just, in machine gun fashion, he is just throwing out and teaching these parables that we've covered thus far. And so tonight we're on this last parable in the Sermon on the Mount. I've lost count of which parable that it is that we're on, but anyway. And again, in this parable, there's such great, great contrast and great extremes that our Lord paints and lays before us. And if you're new, you're watching, I'm going to be repetitive, but I promise by the time we finish the parables of our Lord, you're going to know what a parable is. But if you're new and this is your first time here, as we talk about these parables, remember what a parable is it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that word parable, it literally means to cast alongside. And so what our Lord does is he has this heavenly truth he wants to communicate to his disciples. And in order for them to understand that heavenly truth, he cast alongside it an earthly story. So they can see that earthly story and they can relate to it, and they will say, yeah, okay, I get it. And then they understand that heavenly truth. And so that's what our Lord has done here. And he's painted two polar opposites. And really, the parable is about the wise man and the foolish man. One built upon the solid rock, the other on the shifting sand. Now, I want you to notice as we go through this parable, though, I want you to notice that the differences between these two outcomes is not the difference between the two men. It's not the difference between the materials that they used. But the difference of the outcome is it's the difference upon what they built upon. One built upon the rock, the other built upon the sand. And so to begin with, in verse 24, the Lord, he begins talking about the wise man. And he says this. Now, Luke has this same passage. Luke teaches on this exact same passage, but Luke adds a little bit because Luke must have picked up on some things that Matthew didn't. Remember, Luke was a historian and a physician. And so being a historian and a physician, you take note of details. You notice details about things. And he noticed details about the Lord's teaching that he included. But one of the things that he added was the Lord said before he started teaching his parable, he said, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? And then he begins to teach this. And so the solid rock, the wise man, the Bible says that Jesus says that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he says, I'm going to liken him to a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. Now, Luke also adds that what Jesus said here, that this wise man that he dug and that he dug and that he dug deep. Now, we know a lot about foundations today, and those of you who built houses, you know that a foundation is everything to the building of the house, having a firm foundation. If the foundation's not right, then every possible thing in the house could be off or may not even work from just a simple door closing, all because the foundation has shifted or settled or whatever the case may be. But the Lord says, so the man that hears my words and does my words, he's a wise man. And he's like a wise man who digs down deep and he builds his house on a foundation that is up on the rock. He's dug down to the rock. And then he says this. Now watch, this is big. This is big. And he says, so the rains descended, the floods came. Rains came down, the floods came up. Anybody ever heard that? Knows where that come from? Yeah. Rains came down, floods came up, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Okay, now watch this. Watch this progression. So the Lord says, whoever hears my words, the Bible, the Word of God, whoever hears my words and does them, I'm going to liken him to a wise man. He's a wise man, the Lord said. And the Lord is really right here, and you can make a note in your Bible in the margin right there. You can write Psalm 1, which is my absolute favorite psalm of all. But our Lord is really just echoing in this parable Psalm 1. Really, it's a continuation of Psalm 1. But he says, that's a wise man that hears my words and does them, and here's what that wise man is like. It's like a man who dug and dug and dug deep, built the foundation of his house upon the rock. And then the storms came. We'll just say the storms. We'll kind of sum it up all. And the house did not fall. So there's one thing that these two polar opposites have in common. And we're going to get to the other one here in just a minute. The wise man versus the foolish man, or the solid house on the solid rock versus the house on the shifting sand. There's one thing that they both have in common, and that is this. Is that trials, tests, or storms came to both of them. So you can write that down. A test or a storm is a guarantee in life. Now, the determination of how that thing turns out is, are you a disciple who hears his words and does them? Or are you one who hears his words and does not do them? We see, though, that the difference was this man dug and he dug deep until he was on the rock, and he laid the foundation of his house upon that rock, and the storms came. And so there's no escaping storms, trials, tests of life. There's no escaping that, whether you're the godly or whether you're the ungodly, whether you're the sold-out disciple or whether you're a backslidden disciple. There's no escaping the test. That's the one thing the wise man and the foolish man have in common is they both come under test, or they both endured a storm, because, hey, life brings storms. I've preached on that enough where I'm not going to preach on storms tonight. But again, let me remind you that that old saying's true. If you're not in a storm, then you're either coming out of a storm or you're about to go into a storm. And so you're always in one of those three places. And so storms will come. But now watch this. And so Luke emphasized that Jesus said that man dug and he dug deep. And you know what that's talking about? That means getting in the Word. But hey, it's not enough just to get into the Word. But you've got to get into the Word and let the Word get into you, because that's where the difference is at, my friend. And I want to show you the difference. The difference is this, is you open up your Bible app or wherever you get your daily devotion from, or maybe you just open your Bible and you're reading a certain, you're going through the Bible in a certain kind of manner, or you're studying a particular topic or a particular book of the Bible, whatever the case may be. So you open up that devotional and you read that verse and that devotional first thing in the morning. Close your Bible up and you're done for the day, and you're out and you do your day and you never think about it again until tomorrow morning. Then you just open up your Bible, you read that devotional, that's good, close it up, and you go do your day, and you're never thinking about it again. See, that's you getting in the Word. But what happens is when the Word gets in you is, as you do as Christ has instructed us, you look at that, you ingest it, you take it in. And then just as I could show you this in Scripture, but then as a cow chews its cud, all day long he'll chew that cud. He'll regurgitate that which he has picked, and then he'll lay there and he'll chew on it. So you look at the Word, however way you're in the Word, and the more you look at it, you get in it, but then let it get in you. Remember as best as you can in your own words what that verse and that word is that the Lord has taught you says. Let it get in your mind and let it get in your heart and look at it until it's settled there. You don't have to memorize it word for word, but the thought of it, let it get inside of you. And then for the rest of the day, let it be something that you think on. Yes, you're busy all day long. Yes, you've got demands and you have deadlines and you've got tasks that you have to accomplish. And you got this with the kids or that with the grandkids and this with work or that with work. Yes, you've got all of that. But in the between times, let the Spirit bring that Word back to you. See, that's when the Word gets in you. And so Luke is very clear, that man dug deep. Jesus makes that an emphasis as he taught this, because Luke records it. And so the very implication there is this, is that there is no room in the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ for spiritually lazy. There's no room for that. You can't be spiritually lazy and be considered a wise man in the eyes of the Lord, because the Lord said a wise man is this. He's a man who digs deep and he digs deep and he digs deep and he gets something for himself that God gives him from the Word. And then he chews on that all day long. He's let the Word get in him. And that's how you build the foundation of your life upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Is by letting His Word get in you and letting it infect you, letting it affect you, and letting it change your life. And then when the storms come, because they will come, the rains will come down, the floods will come up, the wind will beat against the house, but it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And the Bible's very clear that Jesus is the rock. Some seven different times in Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament alike, we can find where Jesus is the rock. And so to be that wise man, you can't be spiritually lazy. Like, this is one area where you've got to put strength into and put energy into, is getting in the Word and letting the Word get in you. And what happens is, it's really just like working out. So if you go to the gym, you work out, whatever, once you're working out, like, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss a day of it. If you have to miss a day, you get stressed because you missed it. Being in the Word's the same way. Once you get in the Word enough, you can't do without it. You're going to have it every day. But watch this. Watch this. But as soon as you miss more than one day, you miss a couple of days, you miss a week, it is hard to get back to the gym. In fact, it's easier to get out and stay out than it is to get back in. When you're doing it, when you're in it, every day you want to be there and you don't want to miss it. And if you miss it, you get stressed because you miss it and you want to get right back the next day. But you let some days pass and a week pass or weeks pass, and it's harder to get back into the Word than it was to get out of the Word. And so you got to make this a life habit. And so you need to have some kind of you got to be purposeful and intentional in how I'm going to read God's Word and how I'm going to study it. And there's literally, because of the power of the web today, there's thousands of ways you can study God's word. You can pick a topic or start researching a topic. Peace. I did peace one time. I looked up every occurrence of the word peace, and I did this for however long that it took me to go through those words. And so you can do a topic. You can do peace. You can do storms, whatever the case may be. You could do a book. Go to a book of a Bible. You can pick a certain devotional that's your favorite devotional. Work through that. Maybe you've got a certain preacher that you'd like to go to, and maybe that's your thing in the morning. That's your devotion. You pull up a preacher and start listening to him, and you really listen to text. But you get in there, you dig deep, you're not spiritually lazy, you listen to what the Lord is saying to you through His Word. He's transforming your life. He's changing you from the inside out. And God will take His Word, and He'll make you strong. So when the storms come, because they're going to come, they'll beat upon your house. Rains come down, the floods came up, the wind blew, but the house fell not. So the next verse, the Bible says this, and everyone that hears my sayings, the word, but they doeth them not. They don't do them. They don't take them to heart. They don't let the word get in them. They're going to be like a foolish man. And again, Psalm 1, you go back to Psalm 1, you're going to see this. They're like a foolish man, and he built his house upon the sand. So you know what his problem was? He was spiritually lazy. He was lazy. He didn't want to have to dig. Digging footers, that's one of the worst things you could ever have to do. It's terrible. He didn't want to dig, and he didn't want to dig deep, and he didn't want to put effort in it. I just wonder how much effort this man put on the golf course, though. How much effort was this man willing to put in the woods, hunting, fishing, shooting skeet, whatever the case may be, riding his motorcycle, fixing his hot rod up? How much energy did he devote into those kind of things? How much energy did he devote into his favorite college team or his favorite pro team, whatever the case may be? How much energy did he pour into those things? But when it come to the foundation of his house, he was lazy. He was spiritually lazy, and he did not dig deep. So what did he do? He says, well, something quick and easy will work. Something quick and easy will work. Let me tell you something. In every aspect of life, if it's quick and easy, it ain't good. It ain't worth having. And so he said, I'm just going to build. I'm just going to build right here. I'm not going to dig. I got other things to do. And so he built, but he built upon the sand. The Bible says the rains came down, the floods came up, the wind beat against the house. The exact same kind of rains came that the wise man endured. But the foolish man was built upon the sand. Rains came down, floods came up, wind blew against the house, and it fell. And the Bible says great was the fall of it. So when the storm hit, it came down, and it came down hard. So it's the solid rock versus the shifting sand. The wise man versus the foolish man. And in Psalm 1, what the Lord tells us is the wise man is that man who cherishes the word of God. And here's the interesting thing about Psalm 1 is it's that man, the wise man in Psalm 1 is the man who loves the word. And the psalmist says this, the psalmist says, he is like a tree that is planted by the edge of the river, and his roots go down deep, and he gives his fruit in due season. He doesn't wither when the droughts come. In other words, when the storms come. And see, here's the interesting thing. That tree, all that tree has to do is just take its roots and put them deep, being on the edge of the river. The rest of the countryside could be a desert, could be a drought condition. But because that tree, all he's had to do is dig his roots in deep. And he just stands there, and that's all he has to do. And he is blessed. That tree is blessed because his roots are deep by the river. And the Lord is comparing that to the man who loves the word of God. All we've got to do is dig deep. All we got to do is just hear the words and do them. Let them get in us and let them infect us and affect us. And then all we got to do is just follow Jesus, and we're blessed. And we endure storms. Blessed is that man who endures temptation, the Lord said, or trials or tests. He's able to stand. In fact, James says this, the book of James, the ability to endure trials and troubles of life. James is like this, it's the Proverbs of the New Testament, but it's a whole series of tests as to whether or not I've really been saved. And one of those tests is that man who can endure temptation, that man who can go through trials and go through storms. Now, that's not to say that a storm doesn't break a man. That's not to say that it doesn't hurt a man. That's not to say that it doesn't trouble a man to where he might lose his sleep at night or bite his fingernails or not want to eat for days on end. That doesn't mean that a storm is any less powerful or potent. But what it does mean is that as after the storm is over, that man will still be left standing because his hope and his faith are anchored deep in the Lord and His Word, where you have lived in the Word. One of the things that separates us today from old timers, and you notice this, and I realize today we're kind of in a little different age. And I was thinking about this actually last Sunday morning. My girls used to see me with my Bible on the coffee table or in my lap, but you have your phones now. You have Bibles on there and your devotions on there and online Bible studies and Bible study tools and concordances and all that's right there online. But I want you to notice when you go visit the home of old saints of God, you look around and you're going to see a worn Bible laying there somewhere. I saw one this morning in the house of an old saint of God. It was worn. I didn't have to pick it up and look at it, but I saw it laying right there, clearly in the open, clearly not an object for display to look pretty, and clearly not a dust collector, but that old Bible, it was worn. And it was laying right there in the open where it could be picked up and grabbed real easily. Go in the home today of young church members. Look for that old used Bible that's wore out. All that thinking about the power of the internet and stuff got me thinking, maybe we need to not do our Bible research and study online anymore or reading online. Maybe we just need to go back to picking up that old paper copy of the Word of God and start reading it and using it, because it alone is a testimony. Sarah's grandmother's Bible, literally, I don't know how many times she had read through that thing, but literally, and this is no joke, when I say literal, I mean literal, every single word in the entire Bible, all 66 books, had been underlined and a lot of them highlighted, where she had read every single word probably multiple times over and over and over. I think about my grandpa's Bibles, how that they were so worn from the use and from study. He learned to read. He didn't know how to read. He had a fourth grade education. He learned to read by studying the Bible, by reading the Bible. And my granny would help him and teach him words that he would come across that he couldn't pronounce and that he didn't know what they meant or didn't know how to say them. And so the Word of God is powerful. You've got to remember that. And the thing that separates these two people that we're reading about here, that wise man versus that foolish man, the thing that separates them is one was willing to dig deep and put his foundation upon the rock. He heard the Word and he did the Word. And the other was spiritually lazy. He didn't put much value on the Word. But I want you to notice what Jesus has done here. He has placed so much value on the Word of God. And what he has said is this, is that the power of God's Word, it is enough to enable you to withstand the storms of life. It will get you through the storms of life. Without it in your life, hearing it, doing it, living it out, without it, when the storms come, you're going to suffer loss, and you're going to suffer great loss. And so Jesus here, he magnifies the power of the Word. So think about that. Think about that. Some of you, you are preparing in every way for the future. Every way. You've got retirement plans set up. You've got 401k plans set up. You've done this. You've made this financial investment, that financial investment. You're putting back money here. You're putting back money there. And I just heard somebody today talking about they'd built a house in a place where they really didn't need it. Or I didn't think. But they were installing a whole house generator and it was going to cost them tens of thousands of dollars to put this whole house generator on their hook it up to their house, where when the power goes out, it automatically comes on. And if you're making preparations for the future, preparations for emergencies, preparations for hard times, preparations for retirement, preparations for vacations. Listen, we're doing all this planning, but this is what Jesus said. Jesus says if you place value on the Word of God in your life, that it's going to prepare you for anything that comes ahead. All that stuff I said, that's good stuff. You ought to prepare for the future. You ought to be financially smart. You ought to plan for retirement. You ought to plan for all those things. They're good. They're important. But listen to what Jesus is saying. But are all those things going to help you when the storms come? When life hits you and life hits you hard and takes the breath out of you, and you've been gut punched by life, are all those things going to be what keeps you strong and keeps you standing and gets you through? No, but what Jesus says is the Word of God's that powerful in your life. If you'll dig and dig deep and let it get in you and you live it, then he said the storms are going to come and that house is going to stand. If you don't, stark contrast, if you don't, when the storms come, you're coming down with it, and the fall's going to be great. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer loss when the storms of life hit. And so, two stark contrasts again in this parable, two polar opposites, the solid rock versus the shifting sand, the wise man versus the foolish man, the house that stood versus the house that collapsed. The house that remained versus that individual that suffered great loss. The one thing in common, though, was that they both endured storms. The difference was the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you and motivate you, because I found in life that we are constantly having to let the Word and the Spirit of God correct us back to center of the road. We tend to drift because we're human. We're flesh and blood. And so we start drifting. And we'll start drifting out of God's path and God's way and God's Word. And then God, through His Spirit or through a word from somebody, will guide us back and get us on course. And so I'm praying tonight, and I'm teaching you tonight to get back on course as far as the Word of God is concerned. Ask the Spirit of God to put a personal hunger inside of you. Me and a pastor friend of mine, that's what we used to pray for each other all the time. That was our prayer request between the two of us, was pray that we'll have an insatiable desire for God's Word. Because if we have an insatiable desire for the Word of God in our life, then the storms can come, but we'll be prepared and be able to stand. And so that's the power of God's Word. Simple thought tonight, the solid rock and the shifting sand. You're one of the two. And so tonight you do, again, I'm going to say a self-assessment, but it's really a spirit assessment. Let the Spirit of God take the Word of God and do an assessment on your heart tonight. Which one of these two are you? Because there's no middle ground. You're either the wise man or you're the foolish man. And with the help of God tonight, you can change all that. And you can leave this church and you can click off of us on Liberty Live being a wise man whom the Lord considers wise tonight. I want you to stand tonight, and if you will, tell somebody you love them, you're praying for them. And for those on Liberty Live, we're praying for you, and we love each of you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.